This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
So on Tuesday when I caught up with Dave, we said I think the time's right to have a bit of breathing space for the club to look for its next coach, because it's not, as I've always said, it's not a one-year appointment. The next coach will be a 3 or 4 year appointment, and I've been here for 10 years.
He's done an outstanding job in our view over a long period of time. I think his legacy is absolutely assured. He's taken us to finals. He's won finals. He's done what a lot of AFL coaches haven't done, and that is not just coach a team. He's helped build a club.
Good afternoon. Welcome to my Triple M podcast, news podcast this afternoon. A huge day as far as the Giants and Leon Cameron are concerned. Leon Cameron will bow out as the Giants coach effective this weekend. He'll have his final game on Sunday against the Blues. That was Leon Cameron speaking a short time ago, as well as CEO Dave Matthews. An amicable mutual decision was how it was described to me from Dave when I contacted him, the CEO of the club, this morning. A massive podcast coming up. Want to discuss the background to how this Leon Cameron situation sort of evolved and took place. Want to discuss the contenders and how it could have a domino effect in the coaching market. I'll give you a COVID update today regarding some of the protocols, and exclusive also on the rooms access, which we'll see for the rest of the season. And for some Blues fans out there listening, I'll also give you an important update on Harry Mackay and how that knee injury is of particular concern, given some other precedents as well. But a massive episode and podcast today. Just to cap things off and recap from Monday, this is how I described the Giants situation on our podcast on Monday. Giants, they're a big story. 53 points. They were thumped in Canberra, where they should, in theory, perform well against the Cats. Clearly, Leon Cameron's chances of now getting a contract renewal beyond this season terribly low. Industry sources, you know, often say now that maybe they could amicably part ways with Leon Cameron, you know, in a mature adult sense, a bit like what happened with Bucks and Collingwood, perhaps around the mid-season bye. I think it's a huge chance if they can't, you know, at least start winning some more games and improve their performances again against a top side in Geelong or a top four or top six side. They struggled on the weekend. So Leon's amicable parting with the Giants was well and truly on the cards. Did we expect it to happen as soon as round nine? Well, no, but it was on the cards, obviously. It was really on the cards from sort of pre-finals last year when they struggled really to get into the 2021 final series. Was Leon Cameron's period at the Giants a success? That'll be a debating point for years, if not decades to come. He was handed, in Hutchie's words, the keys to the Ferrari. I wouldn't call them concessions because they were building a club, but he had some of the best talent at his disposal in the history of the competition. The sliding doors moment for mine was 2016 when the Giants beat Sydney in the first final by 36 points. The Giants then narrowly lost the Dogs in the prelim, I think by just 6 points, and you could mount a considerable argument that if they'd scraped through that prelim, the Giants would have been well placed to beat Sydney in the grand final. It didn't happen. Would have, could have, should have. The 2019 grand final was a disappointing performance, is another perspective. But if you look at how North's going, look at all the problems the Suns have had, you could easily say that Leon has established a very competitive team at GWS, and it was unlucky in many ways, and it has been a successful period. We know grand finals, and in particular finals, are hard to make. Grand finals particularly difficult to win. In terms of how all this played out, there'd been whispers across my desk that Leon had been frustrated, speaking to a couple of particular person at another club in recent weeks, voicing some concern, I understand, with what was happening to the Giants. Clearly his concern was that he wasn't, in the end, going to get another renewal beyond the year. And then it just became a very adult discussion. You know, Leon's a very good person, so are the Giants. As Leon said there, the decision really wasn't around who'd coach the Giants next year or the year after. It's a 3, 4, 5 year decision. Leon's been there for 10. That's sort of like tops in football these days. And obviously this now allows Leon to get paid out for the rest of this season. He gets a graceful exit. The Giants can go and speak to other contenders. He wasn't going to get renewed beyond this season, and it became an adult discussion, as I alluded to in our podcast and sort of predicted would happen on Monday. In much the same way that Collingwood parted parted company with Nathan Buckley, it's sort of the blueprint and model, I think, going forward as to how clubs can do that in an adult fashion. So that's some background in terms of how it all played out. The performance against the Giants on the weekend was also particularly disappointing. They were a bit listless, the Giants, and as Leon alluded to, I think, in his press conference today, clearly the Giants haven't been playing the football that they're currently capable of.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the kingmaker in the Giants' decision, I can tell you, is going to be Jimmy Bartel. I know that he catches up with James Hurd regularly. He's essentially their football director at the Giants, and I'm told he's going to have a big say, or an influential one, on where they go to on the coach from here. Cameron's decision will have a domino effect. The Giants are now in pole position to try and secure Clarkson. They're at the front of the queue. That's going to force these following clubs to at least consider their strategy going forward. I'm not knocking these coaches coming up. I'm not saying they're about to get sacked. I'm saying the boards and the CEOs will have to scratch their heads and go, well, where do we go from here? The Gold Coast, they'll have to decide on Stuart Dew. They have been playing improved football. Having said that, they've shown promise in the early stages of the season before. St Kilda, it looks like they're going to recommit to Brett Ratten, but it's well documented. Simon Lethlean's taking over. They've got a very good list. They're continuing to build a good list. I hope, personally, that Ratten gets re-signed. But again, you'd think they'd have to at least consider now trying to move, potentially, or at least sound out Alistair Clarkson. Port Adelaide, they're getting the season back on track. They're 3-5. If they win this weekend, they'll be 4-5. They're up and about. They have to consider, will they honour the final year of Ken Hinckley's contract? That's up to them. Again, Hinckley's been there for this 10 or 11 year period, which we know is the danger period if you haven't won a flag. And North, who are currently a basket case, in my opinion, at the moment, should they chase Alistair Clarkson? Look, they're firmly behind David Noble, but I'd rather Alistair Clarkson than David Noble. That's just my opinion, and I'm sure a lot of listeners and supporters would agree with me. So maybe they're duty-bound to go and at least sound him out. So clearly, the Giants are in pole position, and now those other clubs will at least have to consider their strategy. In terms of the coaching field, well, there's experienced candidates and there's assistants, and I'll run through them in no particular order. These are the guys that you'd obviously go and speak with. Alistair Clarkson, number one. Brad Scott got North Melbourne, who are essentially a blue-collar side, to the finals. I think two preliminary finals, had a 106-105 game record across 211 games. I know he's at the AFL now, but you want to sound him out. He's clearly a competitive coach, an ultra-competitive coach. You'd want to talk to him. Ross Lyon, you know, sources continue to tell me that he had the Carlton job until a portion or section of the board got involved at one point. There is a view in football that he was treated badly by Carlton throughout that process recently. He's since told Triple M in regards to his coaching aspirations that he wishes perhaps he would have had a manager and not represented himself at that time. I think Ross Lyon would be a great option for the Giants. You'd want to go and speak to him. James Hurd, it's incredibly romantic. A lot of Essendon people who I speak to maintain that he's one of the best coaches they've seen. Did he muck up from a governance perspective? Well, you could argue he did. Would he need support around him from a footy manager perspective and all that sort of stuff? Of course he would. But purists, a lot of them that I speak to in footy, assure me that James Hurd is a brilliant tactician, a brilliant coach. He's certainly inspirational. I spoke to Tim Taranto earlier in the year. He's at the Giants. I broke that story. And he inspires a lot of the players. He's got a connection to those players. I also put this question to Gil McLaughlin when I spoke to him as part of the preseason launch.
James Hurd, would the AFL support him coaching at a senior level again?
Of course.
Have you discussed that with him?
No, but I've certainly had discussions about him coming back into football, and I'm pleased to see him playing that leadership role with the Giants.
Do you think Hurdy will be a senior coach again one day?
I think that's entirely in his court. He obviously can do it. I think it's more if he wants to do it.
Kevin Sheedy also on record this season, I think, is saying that, in his opinion, Hurdy would be better for the run and would be a suitable senior coach. You'd want to speak to him. He's been doing a lot of work with the Giants. That also, obviously, I think, want to speak with Nathan Buckley as well. In terms of the assistants that you'll hear bandied about in the next couple of months, Adam Uze, massive raps on him at Melbourne. Ashley Hanson, big raps on him at Carlton, as well as Adam Kingsley, who comes up. He has been overlooked a few times, but there's huge, huge raps on him at Richmond as well. So that's a preliminary feel that I'm sure Dave Matthews and the board would be looking at now. Would the AFL, in their view, prefer Clarkson at the Gold Coast or GWS? Well, you could mount an argument that the Giants is arguably a bigger marketplace, bigger potential marketplace than Western Sydney. The ratings for the Giants games have been low. The recent Canberra game against St Kilda on Friday night did generate low numbers, particularly in the Sydney market specifically. They have been also struggling, I think, to maintain, you know, meaningful supporter levels in Western Sydney, which is essentially rugby heartland and is a difficult market. So I think the AFL would support Clarko going to the Giants or the Gold Coast. Now, of course, they can't say the Gold Coast yet because Stuart Dew is still there and at the moment, for the very second, seems to be doing a reasonable job. Would the Giants be persuaded by the marketing factor of a big coach? Look, I think they'll get the best coach, but clearly a big name is going to help them in that Sydney market. It's a non-AFL market. So, you know, would James Hurd put bums on seats? Yes. You know, would Alistair Clarkson put bums on seats and sell memberships? Yes. Would Nathan Buckley? Yes. So it's a good start, providing those guys can coach, and we know they can. So there's some of the questions that have come up in the next few days, certainly. But that's a field that I'd look at.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
Just a COVID update. The AFL sent out some notification to the clubs this morning that there will be improved access to the rooms for family and friends from round 11. So some of those COVID protocols have been eased. That's good news for fans of Roaming Brian, because if Roaming can get into the rooms as well as with the families and friends, we'll have Roaming back on a Friday night. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully that'll ramp up from round 11 when those family and friends can get back into the rooms. The AFL's also eased back on the COVID protocols. The players, sort of in line with what's happening in the community, will now just be tested a couple of times a week with those rapid tests. That notification going out this morning.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
And I'll just whip through a couple to finish off with today. A big blow for the Blues. Harry Mackay needs surgery on his lateral meniscus. He'll miss, according to the Blues, at least 6 weeks. Now, the concern there is the meniscus, I'm told, through footy sources, I'm not a doctor, is the padding and the cushion in the knee. If you just got to sew it up, it's okay, you can get back to normal. If you have to take some of the meniscus out, what you're essentially doing is losing that padding or that cushion. And long term, you can get bone on bone. It can become a debilitating problem, which could really restrict you from playing past the age of 30. That's long term. Short term, Hopper's an example of a player with a similar issue at the moment. That's Jacob Hopper from the Giants. He struggled really to get up since late last season. He played a game, tried to get back, didn't work. He's had to go back in for some more surgery. So Mackay clearly instrumental for the Blues, particularly in their September campaign. At the moment, it's 6 weeks plus, but that could easily blow out. So we'll learn more about that and the nature of the surgery as Carlton speak in regards to that over the next couple of days. On Wednesday next week, the AFL will hold its commission meeting. There's huge momentum now for a twilight grand final, an historical one. It would be a first at the MCG. Richard Goyder, the commission chairman, has gone on record this year, I think it was on the ABC, as supporting that principle. Look, Gil may want tradition for the final year of being in the big chair, but I think there's huge momentum now, certainly supported, I imagine, by the broadcasters, for them to announce a twilight grand final as soon as next week. We'll find out for sure next week. Just on North, a lot made this week of the Herald Sun story, which is a good one, regarding the fact that David Noble apologised to the players regarding his spray post the Brisbane game. I think part of the concern there, I've spoken to some sources, was that clearly they're on a long-term rebuild, and you know, giving them a huge spray this far into the rebuild, which hasn't been very far at all, I guess was perhaps a bit out of context. Having said that, he has got to get the most out of his players. There'll be emphasis, I think, now, apart from their on their performances, on the improvement of some of their key players like Zuha, Simkin, Davies, Uniacke, Phillips, Powell, some of that top-end draft talent. People want to see that Noble's improving those players. Clearly, Horne Francis' decision to delay, and he's a great player, delay his contract talks is a potential blow to David Noble. They've missed out on free agents. It's essential that North and the players and their top-end players have enough belief in their development and their rebuild that they're prepared to commit to the club. Hopefully for their sake, Horne Francis does later this year or early next year. But that's some pressure on David Noble, because you've got to have enough gravitas in the coaching game to be able to convince that top-end talent that they want to re-sign. That's been a challenge for the Gold Coast. So I've got some concerns there. And just from a general perception perspective, I think James Brayshaw and Ben Buckley gave the club a lot of gravitas, and so did Brad Scott, and gave the club a lot of momentum. I know supporters now are a little bit worried that the club's rudderless, that obviously the AFL is looking at Tasmania. There's a raft of issues there, but I just think they need a bit of leadership as well, the Kangaroos. There's been a lot of emphasis on them this week, and it won't go away. The only thing that will make it go away is similar to what I said about the Bombers last week. They've just got to either win a game or at least be certainly show improved performances. And just finally on Heredia Lumumba, Eddie Maguire, the previous Collingwood president, addressed that issue on Footy Classified last night, saying he's sad. I'm sad for everyone. This is a short clip of what Eddie said.
Look, it's just really sad, and I'm not going to make any comment about anything on one way or the other.
But are you sad for the club? Are you sad
I'm
for
sad
Heredia?
For everybody. Sad for everybody. You know, you got to remember, you know, I was very close with Heredia and have not spoken to him in any other terms other than pure love and affection over the journey. That means nothing at the moment. That's not a criticism, it's just the way I feel. And I just hope that I hope the door is still a little bit ajar at some stage for Heredia to come back. I think the rocker mat is out still, and but it's his prerogative, and it is just really, really sad.
I get the strong impression that Nathan Buckley feels much the same way. He'd like to reconcile with Heredia Lumumba. There's certainly no ill will there at all. In terms of what Lumumba's next step will be, there's indications at this stage that perhaps he's had his say and used that Lumumba this week as a means of trying to move on from this issue. I guess we'll find out. I know in the background, Collingwood is doing a mountain of work in regards to its Do Better report. There's the committee in place. The truth-telling process has now started. Invitations in regards to that truth-telling process have gone out to past players. That's being assisted by external advisers. I know that Collingwood would very much welcome Heredia to still participate in that truth-telling process. And, of course, they hope that he'll sort of fold back in, if you like, to Collingwood's recommendations as part of the Do Better report and indeed participate in that process. So that's basically where that issue stands at the moment. Leon Davis and Andrew Crack are still aligned per se with Lumumba. Well, I certainly wouldn't want to say they're not, because Lumumba's put on record that they're all together, those three. But I think it's fair to say that in the background, my strong impression now is that certainly there's some dialogue, I think, between Andrew Cracker and the club. Having said that, that's for those guys to speak to, not me. But, there's a lot of work, is my point, going on in the background in regards to the implementation of that report. It's been a massive news day. Leon Cameron and the Giants amicably parting ways, given the fact that Leon wouldn't be renewed beyond this year. There's going to be a big coaching race now. There could be a domino effect. I'll discuss those latest COVID updates as well. A massive news day. I'll be back for more Tom Brown's news on Triple M football tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get roaming back too soon. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more, and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.